Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Mo Kelly here. And maybe it's life imitating art. I mean, you can make an argument for that, that life is now imitating art. Gary and Shannon Show. Did you hear what NASA is doing right now? NASA is sending an unmanned 1,200-pound SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket to travel around the sun and crash into a small, what they're calling a benign asteroid, called Dimorphos, at a speed or velocity of 15,000 miles per hour. And it will happen sometime next year. And they're hoping to test the potential of throwing an asteroid off its course. And if you know that music, that bumper music, that comes from the movie Armageddon, which is about an asteroid hurtling at us real fast, about the size of Texas, threatening to end all life on the planet. That's the premise behind Armageddon. And its director, Michael Bay, says that his movie Armageddon predicted this NASA mission. Well, let me slow down there. Michael Bay is incorrect, if only for this one major reason. If you remember back to 1998 when Armageddon came out, it wasn't the only asteroid crash into Earth movie that year. It was preceded by a good month by a movie called Deep Impact, which starred Robert Duvall, Morgan Freeman, Taya Leone. And it was about, you know, this Wolf Biederman, that was the name of the asteroid, found by some kid, and I think he was like in Lord of the Rings or something like that, but found the asteroid, and then they had to send up this rocket called the Messiah. This is in Deep Impact, and it was helmed by Robert Duvall, and everything went wrong, as they always do in movies, and then they ended up having to go inside the asteroid and blow themselves up with their nuclear payload. And, you know, it was real sad, but they saved the Earth. Only half of the asteroid hit and killed about maybe 40,000 people, but it wasn't all bad. In the movie Armageddon, it starred Bruce Willis, and they had this oil rig. These roughnecks somehow went from an oil rig to drilling on the surface of the asteroid in the hopes of drilling down to some, I don't know, 800 and something feet, so they could drop a nuke and then blow up the asteroid from the center. Now, personally, I enjoyed both movies. Deep Impact was far more cerebral in nature, talked about how the world would prepare if it knew well in advance, how they would prepare to make sure life went on as far as having a lottery, who would get to go to these caverns to be safe or whatever, and who they'd leave behind. And I thought it was thoughtful in terms of how the government would lie to us up until the very end. Morgan Freeman was lying his ass off. Everything's fine. It's going to be okay. We're going to send missiles up there. It'll be all right. Don't panic. By the way, the missiles failed. You can go ahead and panic now. Most of you are going to die. God bless America. That's pretty much the movie. But Armageddon, it's set under a different time frame where they found out very late in the game, and they only have like 18 days. So everything is chaos and panic. And if you don't remember, the way they set it up is really great. They had Billy Bob Thornton, who was like the director of NASA, and he's in a room of scientists and generals, and they're trying to get it all together. Here's the first clip.
It's an asteroid, sir.
How big are we talking?
Sir, our best estimate is 97.6 billion.
It's the size of Texas, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
Dan, we didn't see this thing coming.
Well, our object collision budget's $1 million. That allows us to track about 3% of the sky.
And begging your pardon, sir, but it's a big-ass sky.
And the ones this morning?
Those are nothing. They're the size of basketballs
and Volkswagens, things like that.
Is this going to hit us?
We're efforting that as we speak, sir.
What kind of damage are we...
Damage?
total, sir. It's what we call a global killer. The end of mankind. Doesn't matter where it hits, nothing would survive, not even bacteria.
My God.
The end of your political career. Who wants to be president at the end of the world? And you notice in Deep Impact, and you ever seen the movie 2012 as well? In 2012, the president of the United States is Danny Glover. Okay? The president during Deep Impact is Morgan Freeman. When the world's going to hell, make sure the president is a black man. Just wanted to put that out there. I just see this strange coincidence. The world's going to hell. How's it going to be remembered? Well, the black guy was president. Anyhow, so is this life imitating art? Did NASA take a page out of science fiction and said maybe we should start looking at more of the sky, the other 97%, and see if an asteroid just might hit us? Here's the next clip from Armageddon.
With the proximity of the asteroid and no prep time, none of our primary plans can work.
Why don't we just send up 150 nuclear warheads and blast that rock apart?
Terrible idea.
Was I talking to you?
This is Dr. Ronald Quincy from research, pretty much the smartest man on the planet. You might want to listen to him.
General, if you consider your target, her composition, her dimensions, her sheer velocity, you could fire every nuke you've got at her and she'd just smile at you and keep on coming.
You should know that the president's scientific advisors are suggesting that a nuclear blast could change this asteroid's trajectory.
I know the president's chief scientific advisor. We're at MIT together. And in a situation like this, you really don't want to take the advice of a man who got a C-minus in astrophysics.
C-minus!
The president's advisors are, wrong. I'm right.
Hitting the rock from the outside won't do the job.
Imagine a firecracker in the palm of your hand. You set it off, what happens? Burn your hand, right? You close your fist around the same firecracker and set it off. Your wife's gonna be opening your ketchup bottles the rest of your life.
That's so sexist. So sexist. Might have a husband. How are you gonna know that? World's changed. But anyhow, this is where it actually is different as far as what NASA's trying to do. NASA's actually trying to do the missile test to see if they were to send a nuke, whether the blast or the impact could alter the course of the asteroid. And I understand what they're saying, the sheer force and sheer velocity as far as the science goes. And I was seeing Neil deGrasse Tyson, who actually addressed this on a number of interviews, and he said that, yeah, that's pretty much right. The sheer force and velocity of an asteroid the size of Texas in a two-dimensional sense, but three-dimensional sense, it'd even be more impactful and impressive. Nuclear bomb is not going to do anything. You'd have to figure out some other way. But a more manageable size asteroid like this is supposed to be, then it's more possible. But it'll be interesting to see whether this will yield a change as far as planetary defense. Since it's been long believed that the asteroid is why we don't have the dinosaurs today, and the change of the whole ecology of the world was due to an asteroid, it's thought, this is something where we might want to take seriously and find out about. And wouldn't it be something if somewhere along the way, because remember, Deep Impact and Armageddon came out in 1998, more than 22 years ago. Let's say you were 18 years old at that time. You could be 38, 40 years now, old now, and working at NASA and possibly unintentionally impacted by those movies in a way in which it spurred your thinking and possibly influenced the science of today as far as how we think about the protection of this planet in an interstellar sense. Makes you wonder. Gary and Shannon Show, KFI AM 640. I'm Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Gary and Shannon Show. And if you know anything about the Gary and Shannon Show, looking at the clock, you know what time it is. It's time for Tech Talk.
The machines are getting smarter. This is Tech Talk, brought to you by Skynet. Technology, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, crash it,
change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, KFI AM 640, we're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app, and joining me right now on the show is Mark Saltzman to give us some great gadgets to think about this holiday season as a gift or maybe even for yourself. Mark, it's good to talk to you. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. And I don't know, do you tend to shop for yourself first and then think of others? Or do you think of others and then shop yourself?
A little from column A, a little from column B. Yeah. Like if I see something that I'm like, you know, yoink, right? That's something I want. And if you get it the right price, and this year you don't want to delay because of the supply chain issues, if you can grab a great deal, then yeah, you want to take advantage of it, whether it's for a loved one or yourself, even if you were more naughty than nice this year, why not?
Hey, I'm all for a good deal, but I'm all for a great product, a device, which will make my life better, simpler, more efficient, what have you. What are you finding out there, which may be all of those things for people?
Yeah, so it's not a one-size-fits-all scenario. Not everybody likes the same stuff, but there's some great gear ahead of the holidays that you can take advantage of over Black Friday and Cyber Monday weekend. There's deals on smart TVs that are up to $1,000 off for some of those big screen TVs with they call it the frame. It looks like a piece of art when you're not watching TV. It reverts to like art from a museum. These are these like Samsung TVs that you can also put these magnetic borders on, these little frames that are optional. So that's a good price on a great, as low as $599 for the smaller version. But, you know, when you go higher up to 85 inches, wall size permitting, you can save a lot this weekend. I like those. I'm a big reader. I love, you know, the Kindles and the Kobos, and I even read on an iPad. So I'm all in digital, whereas my wife's like, nope, paper or nothing. Right? So there's some good sales to be had on e-readers, smartwatches. It really is depends on what you're into. You could spend as low as $30 on a pet cam that lets you keep an eye on your furry friend when you're not at home, like the Pet Cube cam, and then go all the way up. So, you know, it really depends. So, you know what we're doing tomorrow, Mo? I don't know if you know, just as you're in for Gary and Shannon today, I'm in for them tomorrow. And I'll be highlighting a lot of great deals that you could find over the weekend. We've got lots of interviews lined up. So, yeah, get your wallet ready because we're going to have a lot of fun with some hot tech. But, yeah, so I've writing those gift guides, and we'll be chatting about them tomorrow, everything from wireless earbuds to smart TVs and everything in between.
You mentioned the elephant in the room as far as the supply chain issues. How should I, as a consumer, go about crafting a strategy? It's one thing if I'm buying for me, and I don't mind if it takes a month and a half to get here because I'm not trying to buy under any sort of time frame. But what about buying gifts for other people? I mean, should I chance it with Cyber Monday? I mean, how am I supposed to handle that? Because it may be listed online, but it may not get to me if I need it shipped.
Yeah, it's a great question, Mo. Christmas Day is a month today, so there's still time. So if you are going to shop, do it soon. If you're baking in the shipping time, you can also consider buying it at retail and like ordering it online, picking it up in store is always good. And you've just got it, and that way you have the peace of mind knowing you're not going to be gifting a Christmas gift January 15th. So you could do that. You could also consider online marketplaces like eBay, where 80% of the items are new. Mm-hmm. And they also have like this certified refurb program where it's all warranted and guaranteed and it's like new. But if you want to buy new, and I can understand that as a gift, then you could, they also are a little bit more resilient or at least they're able to get around a lot of these supply chain issues that some of the big box retailers are suffering from. So consider an online marketplace, but just make sure you stick with a reputable seller that does deliver on the promise, because they could say, oh yeah, you'll have it next week. It's like I ordered this Squid Game Halloween costume. I got it the day before our party and I ordered it like a month earlier. So that was cutting it a little close. So you don't want that. You don't want that stress. The holidays are stressful enough. So yeah, consider online marketplaces as well. Shop around. There's so much competition. The retailers aren't waiting even until tomorrow, Black Friday. They want to make that sale. So take advantage of it.
Something that you talked about a little bit earlier in regard to e-readers, I personally am surprised that they still have such a hold or place in the marketplace, because I'm thinking, like, why have a dedicated device for just reading your books as opposed to like someone's iPad, which could serve mm-hmm. just as well? Why do you think that e-readers specifically still do very well?
Have you ever tried to read on an iPad outside?
I didn't think about that.
Do you want to bring your iPad to a poolside or to the beach?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two cheeky answers to your question. So one is that e-readers are better outdoors because they have an anti-glare e-ink screen opposed to a glossy backlit tablet like an iPad, which is great for indoors, but very hard to read in the sun. Secondly, a lot of the e-readers are fully waterproof, like even submergible. Like the Kobo ones have, like their internals are all coated with this, it's called H2O tech something, where it's like all the circuitry is protected in case you drop it, you know, or you want to slip into a bubble bath, not recommended with a tablet. And then the third reason is battery life. Like we're talking weeks with an e-reader opposed to hours with an iPad. So I hear you. It's kind of like a little redundant to buy a dedicated e-reader. And even those e-readers are getting more versatile. The Kobo Sage, which just came out last week, can also play audiobooks. You need wireless headphones or a Bluetooth speaker or something. And you can annotate on the screen. It works with a Kobo stylus pen. Yeah, so you can make notes like in the margin. You can like circle passages and send them to somebody or jot down a shopping list, whatever you like, all on the same device. So they're getting more versatile. But yeah, it is really for those who love to consume books.
Now, I have to ask you a pet question, as I usually do. I have my Pixel 6. I'm kind of lukewarm on it so far, to be honest.
Right.
But
sure.
I'm more curious about, you mentioned wearables. Is there any Pixel Watch in the offering?
I'm not aware of any. They call it Android Wear is the name of the operating system. I can't think of any that really stands out. And it's not because, like, I mean, Apple Watch, I write the books Apple Watch for Dummies, but that's besides the point. I am an Android user, but mm-hmm. I haven't found one. You know, I use a Samsung smartwatch, but there isn't one that you need for your Pixel. It could be even, you know, any kind of, you can even use a Samsung. It's fine.
Oh, no. I was asking whether you had heard any rumors about whether the Pixel Watch is actually going to happen.
Yeah, so I've been hearing a little bit, but it kind of, when they didn't announce it with the Pixel 6 and Pixel 6 Pro smartphone, I figured it was just not ready for prime time, not to mention the supply chain stuff. So no, I don't know much about them. I've heard some murmurings, as it sounds like you have as well, but no, I have no inside intel.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You know, but there's a good article on 9to5Google.com that is titled "The Best Smartwatches to Buy for Your Pixel 6," since Google still hasn't made its own. So that could answer
your question. That's a starting point.
That's exactly what you're asking. Yeah. So there's no Pixel Watch that I have seen just yet. I've heard rumors back to 2019 about it, but
yes.
So I wouldn't hold your breath. Not at this point. It's almost December. I don't think we're going to see it so fast.
Well, we can always hope against hope. He's Mark Saltzman. You'll be able to catch him in this chair tomorrow, as he's in for Gary and Shannon tomorrow to close out the week. Mark, it's always great to talk to you. Let's do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks. Enjoy your turkey. Have fun.
KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Gary and Shannon Show, Mo Kelly. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Happy Thanksgiving. And since it is Thanksgiving, the year overall is winding down. And you will begin to see lists of the best of, the worst of for the year, or the most impressive this of the year, or in this case, the word of the year. Now, I just have questions. I do not have any answers. I'm telling you up front, I have no answers as to what I'm about to tell you. Not as to why, not even as to whom. I just have questions, so don't get mad at me when I don't answer you, because I don't have any of the answers. These are just questions. Collins Dictionary picked a word as their word of the year for 2021. And before I tell you what it is, I just have a question. When was the last time you purchased a dictionary? When was the last time anybody purchased a dictionary? So it leads me to the next question. How do dictionary companies stay in business? I don't know. I really don't know. It's not like they sell online subscriptions to Merriam-Webster. What do they do for income? Someone is maintaining the social media accounts. If someone said, hey, I work for Collins Dictionaries, I would say, what the hell do you do? You don't go door to door trying to sell dictionaries like they used to encyclopedias. I just don't know. I have absolutely no idea. Hit me up on Twitter. Please answer one of these questions. If you work for Collins Dictionaries, other than writing for the website, how do y'all make money? What is it you do to bring in revenue? Because I'm sure I haven't seen anybody purchase a physical dictionary since, I don't know, maybe high school when they were buying them for high schools. And that was 34 years ago when I was last in high school. I don't know. But Collins Dictionary, which is not one of the big, when I say big, in relation to other name dictionaries out there, Collins Dictionary picks, get this, NFT as the word of the year. And if you know what NFT stands for, it's not really a word. It's a acronym for non-fungible token. So how is it the acronym got to be word of the year? And if you're saying, Mo, you're being petty, it's a dictionary company. They're built on being petty. You know, spelling, classifications of words, noun, verb, adjective, adverb, article, preposition. Yes, I know a non-fungible token would be classified as a noun, but it's like a three-part hyphenated compound word or whatever. It's not a word. Is RBI a word? Runs batted in? Is that a word? No, that's a real question. If NFT is a word, non-fungible token, then the question, and I ask to my sports fans out there, including you, Sam, is RBI a word? Runs batted in.
It is now.
Well, if you use the same measuring stick, but I don't think of RBI as a word.
And NBA, MLB, all of them now are individual words. NFL.
Why not?
Here we go.
Why not? Dictionaries aren't dictionaries anymore. And I get why they would do it, if only because you get news coverage. You get on KFI AM 640, people talking about it. You know, the number one news talk station in all of America. But a non-fungible token is so narrow in its scope. And I would say the base of people who know what it is, much less can describe it adequately, intelligently. How can that be the word of the year? Not only is it not a word, I don't even think it's the most popular idea of the year. But Collins Dictionaries defines NFT as a quote-unquote unique digital certificate registered in a blockchain that is used to record ownership of an asset such as an artwork or a collectible. And if you need that long of a definition, then clearly not everyone understands what the hell it is. So it can't be that pervasive in popular culture to be word of the year. You know what I think the word of the year should be, honestly, and I'm not kidding? Pandemic. Everybody knows what that is. I don't need to explain it. You don't need to look it up in a dictionary. Everyone has been impacted by it specifically in the past 12 months. Maybe it was the word of the year for 2020. Well, it should be for 2020 and 2021.
I'll take variant.
There we go. How about even Delta?
Yeah.
Everyone knows those words. Those words were much more impactful than N-F-T. Not a word. Calling it a word for the purposes of publicizing and promoting Collins Dictionaries, which I still, let me check my Twitter right now. Has anyone said anything about what people do at dictionary companies these days? Nope. No one has any answers for me. At Mr. Mo Kelly. No one has any idea. Layla, I was asking the question, since Collins Dictionary has chosen the word of the year, I'm thinking like, well, what does a dictionary employee do these days?
Oh, that's a good question.
That was my point. I thought it was a great question.
And
I don't have an answer.
What is the requirement for a dictionary employee? Like, what sort of vocabulary does one need to work for the dictionary?
It better be a damn good one and a very expansive one.
Mm-hmm. Do you take quizzes?
Is there like maybe an English or grammar quiz?
Absolutely.
I would assume, depending on the department, if you're working in public relations, like Merriam-Webster, for example, they have a very robust social media presence. And the last thing that they want to do is get trolled for misspelling a word.
Mm-hmm.
Or not knowing the correct usage of a word. Because they spend a lot of time trolling other people by words which are misused or prominent ideas in news and media.
And can you work from home? There's no reason to go into an office if you work for the dictionary. Correct?
But what does that mean? Yeah, I agree with you. But I'm saying, even if you did work for a dictionary company, what in the hell would you be doing? You're not selling actual dictionaries. No. You're not selling subscriptions. I don't think they have a subscription-based online marketplace for dictionaries or, you know, paywall content. Hey, I mean, it's not like they have an OnlyFans site. I mean, you know.
I'm looking to see.
How do they make money? I mean, other than selling ads on their website, but that's not a business strategy.
Writing, compiling, and editing dictionaries for print and online publication. Oh, that's an old job posting.
Yeah.
Is the name of that job a lexicographer?
Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is. That job was posted from the UK.
Okay. Maybe they have a different set of skills and responsibilities across the pond.
How did you know that, actually, Sam?
This is a smart-ass show, let me tell you. Yes, sir.
Sam, how did you know that? Am I supposed to know that?
I'm a PhD student. Oh, I gotta know this stuff.
Oh, that's right. Well, no, and he's not kidding. He is seriously a PhD student. This is what he's doing, you know, for shites and giggles.
For my sanity.
Yeah. You're here for your sanity?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I was smart once.
Can I call you Dr. Sam when it's all said and done?
At some point, people are actually going to have to call me doctor. That's terrifying.
I love that.
No,
though.
I
that's
like
really
it.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
I was smart once, and then I got into this business. Not radio, just media in general.
You knew what you meant.
Yeah, just all of it. TV, radio, all of it. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I try to mentally partition what I do and how I live. Because all this stuff is not...
You said it's not real.
It's not real, and it's not really inspiring, intellectually inspiring. I mean, Collins Dictionary, Word of the Year. Yeah, it's great show content, but it's not... You know, I still can't get one answer. Nobody can tell me what dictionary people do in 2021, turning 2022.
I don't know what they do. Yeah. Well, they can always tweet you if they're listening or they have a cousin who works.
Right. I'm waiting.
And it's probably not a full-time job, right? Maybe it's something they do like seasonally. Like, you know, like Vanna White goes and turns letters like for 3 months out of the year and then she's off.
Okay. Tim Chismar hits me on Twitter and says, ATM is a word. And dictionaries are sold in bulk to college kids, bud. That's not a business strategy. I mean, honestly, selling dictionaries to college kids, if you're selling it, that means people have to buy them. Now, if you sell them to universities, okay, let's say you sell 400 to a university. That's not a business strategy. What are you going to do? Once a year? Once every 3 years?
This is stressing me out.
You know, I'm quite sure they try to sell dictionaries wherever you go. Who the hell's buying them? That's all I'm saying.
I miss the encyclopedia.
I had a Funkin' Wagnalls encyclopedia growing up. And in school, they had a Britannica one. And that was an Encyclopedia Britannica.
That's how, for the children or the young folks who are listening who don't know what that means, that's true. How we would do actual research back
before
in the day.
The internet.
We didn't Google anything.
It had to be in that book, or we just didn't know. Or parents and teachers just made it up. And I realized that as I got older. It's like,
yeah,
you made that up.
Made up. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Mr. Mo Kelly here, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And since now it's officially the Christmas season, you can say that, it's officially the Christmas season. There's some gifts that I want from one of you. I don't care if you need to put your pennies together, you're going to start a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter for me. This is all about me. This particular segment is all about me and what I want for Christmas. Let me introduce you to Michael Pick. Michael Pick is now a Guinness World Record holder. He has built the world's largest Nerf gun. This is what I want for Christmas. He 3D printed this record-setting Nerf gun using, you know, as you might imagine, an array of materials, but it's mostly plywood. So it's biodegradable. It's not going to harm the environment. It shoots darts that measure a foot long. They fly at 50 miles per hour and can destroy pumpkins on impact. There's video on YouTube right now that I'm watching. It is incredible. I need this for Christmas. And you don't need a permit for it. Now, you can't carry it. It's too big, it's too large, and weighs about 200 pounds. But you can mount it on your house, and that's exactly what I would do. I need the world's largest Nerf gun, and so anyone, or even anything, which should approach my house, I can kill it from a good 50 feet away. We got coyotes in my neighborhood, so I could put this to use. And not get in any trouble, because at least at this moment, or at least by this Christmas, it will still be legal. And as I said, there are plenty of videos up on YouTube. Michael Pick, he shared. He has his own YouTube channel, and he has his home workshop in Alabama. So I guess he has a lot of space in which to practice. And he built a toy himself. He calls it a toy, but, you know, it's a deadly toy. And the official Guinness Book of World Records, their YouTube channel, even shared the footage. So my thing is, what was even the motivation for creating something like this? That's the first thing. And secondly, you know, what has he really tried it out on? I know he's trying it out on pumpkins on his YouTube channel, but I know he probably tried it out on some varmints, some vermin, maybe some interlopers, anyone who might have come through his property or something. But it's a foot-long dart. And they fly at 50 miles an hour, destroying fruit, pumpkins, you know, left over from Thanksgiving. That's what I would like for Christmas. So you can hit me up on Twitter at Mr. Mo Kelly. You can go to my personal website, MrMoKelly.com, and figure out how we can do the details of how you can send me this 200-pound world's largest Nerf gun, or you can do it IKEA style, send it to me in pieces, and I'll put it together. It'll probably take me a day like it does with IKEA. I was never good at IKEA. Never. Anything I built with IKEA, don't even look at it funny. Don't even blow on it because it might fall over. I was that guy who would always finish with four screws, five other pieces, and a wrench I never used. And I never understood why. And it just sat in the corner and it's like, okay, don't move it because it'll fall apart. But this is something, you think I'm kidding. I'm looking in Aramis. I'm like, no, I'm being serious. I would like to have this. Is not only as a toy, but as a deterrent for anyone who's like, oh, that's a nice toy. Yeah, don't play with me. Don't even walk up on me. This is all real. You're getting ready to get 50 miles an hour of Nerf hell. Back up off my property. I'm carrying. It's 200 pounds, but I'm carrying. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. Coming up next, the best of the John and Ken Show. I'm Mo Kelly, and be sure to tune in to me on Saturday for our very special Small Business Saturday show. It's not too late. You can go to my Twitter and find the link where you can sign up your small business so we can honor you, recognize you, salute, and celebrate you from 6 to 8 p.m. this Saturday. KFI AM 640, we are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven.
Gary and Shannon.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.